Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Our need for God then releases his power in our life through our talents. When you were born, God had a design purpose for your life. That purpose was to give a calling that you were to live in this world at a particular time, and that he has given you talents that you would spend a lifetime discovering how they were to be applied in service of him. That without trusting God, we can't trust ourselves. Without knowing God, we can't know ourselves. Without trusting and knowing God, we can't know the talents that God has called us to use. Our talents that are used in workplaces for paychecks and compensation, and that also the understanding that in that place could be your place of ministry. God's understanding is that where you are, he is, and where you are, he is, that ministry happens. That it simply means connecting to the hurts and hopes in the lives of people. And to do so in light of his promise for you and with the promise that you can offer to others. How you live in the workplace is how people see you living your faith. With kindness, a goodness, a firmness, a tenderness, a toughness, a capacity to cast a vision beyond the problems to see the possibility of what God's making possible. I got to talk fast because we're having communion and I have a brief time to bring this message. I got 25 minutes to bring it in 15 minutes, so here we go. To understand how this works, then, is to understand how faith works, that our talents are gifts from God. That's what Ainsley Harrison saw. When she's a senior at Churchill High School, the daughter of Bill and Delana Harrison, she saw that there was a hurting need that was happening because two people had taken their life. They had committed suicide. The question was what to do. And what Ainsley felt in herself was a compassion, and then she prayed and thought of how to put it into place, and she called it the threads of love. Early in her life, and according to an article by our member, Rich Marini, and Ainsley, who has roots in our church, wrote the article for the San Antonio Express News, and Rich picked up in that article that Ainsley had remembered in a preteen camp the ability of how to make a bracelet. With the compassion in her heart, then she thought, we'll create the threads of love, and that we'll give these bracelets to other students or faculty in Churchill High School with a written word of encouragement of what they mean to our lives. She took it to the leadership team there at Churchill. The leadership team grew to include almost all of the parliament, their form of the student government, and the administration. And so now at a high school of about 3,000 people, the majority of them have this threads of love as a sign of hope. Why? Because Ainsley realized there was a need and she could do something to help meet part of that need. It utilized an ability that she had learned early in her life and applied it, and she taught others how to make these threads of love. That's what God seeks to do with each and every one of us. That where there is a hurt, there is a hope. Where there's a problem, there's a promise. And that your call in life is to take this word that Jesus gave in the parable that Lori and Steve read for us. We're going to focus right now on verse 21. Now, we know that Jesus is in the last week of his life when he is telling this parable. Matthew 25 is really a chapter about get ready. Because not only is my death and resurrection coming, but your death is coming too, and I want you to have lived your life in such a way that you're ready for a resurrection. Trust in me, and this is part of what it means. So he gave the image about this man who was very wealthy, going on a long journey. He entrusted then three servants, can be translated slaves, but is expressed by Jesus as three servants, and that they were to take part of some of his wealth, and he was wealthy. One talent, in terms of pots of gold, was worth about 20 years of a common laborer's wage. Just one talent. And so he told them, I trust you with this. Now in verse 21, he said this. His master replied to the two who then took one had five talents, meaning they'd had about 100 years worth of day's labor's worth of financial responsibility. And he doubled it. and another had about 40 years worth of days' labors worth of finances, and he doubled it. To both of them, he gave a similar message. One, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is what the Lord is wanting to speak to us. It's not about doubling money, though that can be what the calling in life is to advance God's kingdom. Absolutely nothing wrong and can be everything right about earning money to distribute money for God's great purposes. But it's not just about earning money. The gift of what God then provides is to use your talent as God has called you and then develop the abilities and trust him to put it into place. And you'll hear the Lord whisper to you at night when you're tired from a day's labor in the workplace, in the life of your talents being used in the marketplace. Well done. I'm proud of you. You said some hard no's, but you said it with faith. You said the right yeses. You applied your talent. You put in a good day's effort of trusting me. Secondly, you've been faithful with what I've given you. And being faithful to what God has given you, then, he is going to give you more. Have you ever gotten through a set of problems and you went like, boy, I'm glad that's over with, only to discover that there's a whole nother set of responsibilities that come your way, and you thought, I thought I was through with those problems. And the Lord is, it's a way of the Lord saying, I've trusted you, now keep growing in a faithfulness that I want to give you. And thirdly, then come and share in your master's happiness. Now this is the radical message. In Jesus' day, the big boss would never have asked all the servants to come and share in my happiness. It didn't happen. But in the kingdom of God, God wants you to know absolutely to share in his happiness, the joy that he has. By your co-creating with God, you're partnering with your talent, you're actually partnering to accomplish God's will in the insurance world, the dentistry world, the factory world, the volunteer world, wherever you are serving when you work in light of him. We can do this because first we see. We can see your God-provided opportunities. So the one who pulled back with one talent, you know what he did. He was angry. He was ticked off. He didn't like the master. He didn't like the master had given other people more opportunities. And so he went and hid his talent. He hid his talent, not only the pot of money, but he hid his abilities. He hid his talent. He wasn't going to do it. Now, this is critical in how we understand who God is. Later, he will tell the master who came back to say, what did you do? He says, well, I know that you're a mean master. I know that you're unjust. I don't like you. And so I decided just to hide that talent. There's some people that never engage their life because they don't discover who God really is. And God who is love, God who is powerful, God who is committed to your very best life is the one source in this world that you can always trust. But if we don't know who God is, we can't really know who we are. And then we hold back of our talents. We could get our names in the headlines. We could have a lot of pipe being well known. But that's maybe not what our life is about. Trusting in God is then to release it. And so the promise which he said is to see the opportunities which I'm giving you. Are you seeing that? This week, while you're also doing your to-do list, make sure that to-do list is the right to-do list that God has for you. And then work with that to-do list as a way of being able to show God into the lives of people through your talents. Two is then to be able to use that as a stretch. And stretch is obedience. It's stretching your God-given potential. I've shared with some of you the story of when our son Stephen was 5. And I'm recalling the story as you do with your children or grandchildren or people that you know and you've invested in, and you think, my, when did they get like this? He's now in the Silicon Valley of Northern California, kind of blowing and going and strong in his faith. But I remember when we pulled up to his kindergarten when he was 5 years old, and he was in the back seat of the car, and before we got out of the car, he said, "Dad, can you make me 3 or 4 again?" I looked at him in the rearview mirror, and I said, "No, son, I can't." He said, "I didn't think so." "Well, why do you ask?" "Because life was easier then." Walking into kindergarten with all that was going to be required of him was kind of scary. And life presents itself to that in light of our trusting God to go forward with our life, because we're being asked to do something we haven't done exactly like that day is demanding for it to be done. But God goes with us. And then we take that day's learning, we trust it to God, and then we move into tomorrow, casting the big vision of what's happening. And the big vision in this story is the master's coming back. They had a responsibility, as the master will be coming back, to have taken that investment and to use their abilities to grow that investment. And the master did come back. And what happens then is to serve by using your talents to share in God's happiness. God wants nothing more in life than you to be happy. That's why the Messiah mission came. That's why Jesus came. So that you could experience a heavenly happiness in an earthly life, to live an earthly life in trust of Him in order to have a heavenly life in eternity. Like Beverly Bayshore, we celebrated yesterday in the chapel. Tomorrow we'll be here with Bill Haley. I just got word this morning that Wish Johnson from our fellowship passed away. 3 very different people, very different servants of the Lord, but each coming in and knowing that their life was about something larger than just themselves, and to be able to share in God's great happiness. So how happy are you? The more that you and I then share in God's talents with the lives of others, we experience that proportion back in our own life. So again, it will be like a man going on a journey. And when he's going on the journey, he entrusts that responsibility. Of course, we know. We know that in the closing of this gospel, in the closing of Jesus' earthly ministry, he is about to say, "I'm leaving my physical ministry here on earth. In leaving this physical ministry, I'll be with you in resurrection. I'll be with you in my resurrected presence. I'm going to be with you as the hope of glory," as Paul would say. "But I need you to be my Easter people. I need for you to be in the marketplace, in the schools. I need for you to be in government. I need for you to be in the farms and with the ranches. I need for you to be in the volunteer world. I need for you to be my church in worship and my church in ministries and the life of the church, and then doing your life and honoring of Him with your talent." Wow, that's Jesus going with you every day. For the Master leads the way. As we move now into the call of the signs of His presence, of the ministry which He gave, then what only He could do to empower you then to live the life which only you can live by trusting Him. Jesus gave us this supper, this communion to celebrate the victory.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.